We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Our beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Tina Dobbs, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our gorgeous sister in Christ, Miss Renee Kielhofer. How are you doing this morning?
I'm wonderful. Wonderful. And excited to be here.
We are so glad that you come. We just appreciate you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. I love to talk. So anytime I get to talk about Jesus, that is.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located right here in Elk City, Pastor Chasten Music. If you would like to be put on the will for the blessing book for the month of June, all you have to do is like, share, and comment. Done. The book for this month is Hard Sayings, Reconciling the Cost of Discipleship and the American Dream by Pastor Joshua West. I think I covered it all, Miss Renee. Would you please pray to start us out?
Love to. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our time together this morning. Father, we give it to you. We ask that you do what you want to do in us this morning and that we be open to receive that, and we'll be faithful to give you the praise and the glory. Thank you for loving us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lemonade.
Everybody I know loves it. So this morning, my title's Lemonade. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 4. And so we've all had those moments in life when we're handed lemons. And some of us may even live in a perpetual bowl of lemons, as it seems. And it can be easy to get discouraged and even depressed in those moments. I mean, this isn't news. We've all had those moments more than we would really care to remember, I'm sure. And some of us might be there right now, just holding our bowl of lemons. And the world always says, when life hands you lemons, to make lemonade. But that sounds simple, but in reality, that's really not as simple as you think. I mean, has anybody ever tried to really make real lemonade? I mean, a lemon skin is tough. So you got to, first of all, you have this bowl of lemons, but you got to find a knife that's sharp enough to cut through that skin and through that fruit. And then you're going to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze to get about this much lemon juice out of that lemon. It is not easy. And then, of course, if you don't add something to sweeten it, it'll take your breath away. So when we say, you know, when life hands you lemons, make lemonade, it's not like we're busting out the country time. Or the crystal light. It takes some work. There's some work involved there. And the world's answer to that is to be an individual. Be true to yourself. We've heard these cliches. Indulge in as much self-care as possible. Self-care is a big thing right now. You hear it all over the place. Self-care, self-care. Take a self-care day. you know, do the spa or whatever. And I'm not knocking that. I mean, it's all good. We all enjoy it. But we also hear them say, you're the captain of your own ship. You know, you control your destiny. And those things all sound good, like good motivation. And they'll even work to a degree for a little while. But anything that we try to do without God in it is junk. And it won't last. It's just a distraction from the truth and something that the enemy has perverted to keep you from hearing the truth of God's word. Psychology, therapy, and please hear me. I'm not against those things, but they can only take you so far. They cannot complete you. You're going to find out there's still something missing. How many people have you heard who went through rehabs, went through treatments, went through therapy, and they were good for a year or two? And then they're back in this cycle. And it's because it takes the Holy Spirit to complete the work. And if you leave him out, you're wasting your time. It's not a something that we need, it's who we need. And Jesus is the answer. He's who we need. The Holy Spirit must be allowed to complete the work. Otherwise, it's like having lemonade with no sweetener. It will just knock your socks off. And, you know, hear me on this. God really, really, really cares about the lemons in your bowl. He really does. But he doesn't want you to care about it so much. He wants you to trust him to make the lemonade. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. We've heard that in the King James Version. Cast your cares, for he careth for you. And sometimes that's hard to do, but I love the New Living Translation that says, give all your cares, all your worries, all your problems. Give them to God. Why? Because he cares for you. He's going to make that lemonade in your life. We can trust him. He gets it. He gets it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I'm in the Message version this morning. Y'all know that's my favorite. Says, since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. Think of your sufferings as a weaning from that old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way. Then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants instead of being tyrannized by what you want. And that's what happens. A lot of disappointments come in our life from not getting our way, or from a false expectation or wrong expectation, because it's so easy to find ourselves grumbling, complaining. And we've probably all had those moments where God really speaks something in our heart and we get excited about it and we run with it. And many times we run in a direction that God never intended. He tells us something and we think, wow, that must look like this over here. And really, he wanted it to be that over there. And so we're focused this way when the real call was this way. And so we disappoint ourselves by setting those wrong expectations and not waiting and listening for the details that God's going to give us. And I have a perfect example of this, of not listening to the details. My husband, I'll pause for a second. Bless his little heart. He's precious. He's precious. But we added on to our house about a year and a half ago. And when about halfway through the process, I said, you know, I have these four tables in the barn that I would really like to redo and put in the living room when we get it done. And so I got two done right away. And when we got the furniture, I was able to move those two in there. Well, the other two were a little more complicated. And so I haven't been able to do those. And I've been talking about them for months. And last summer, my husband got this big project that he wanted us to do. So my tables got put on hold. And I was determined that this summer, those last two tables were going to get done, and I really wanted them done by June 4th. That's my husband's birthday. It was a Sunday. The kids were coming for lunch, and one of the tables was a buffet, and I really wanted it done before the 4th so I could put the birthday cake out there. So I talk about these tables. I'm going out in the barn. I'm working on these tables. I'm reporting my progress to my husband every day, what step I've completed on these last two tables. Finally, about Wednesday, I get done with everything I can do. And so all that's left is what I need him to do. And that is to drill new holes for the hardware to go on the doors. And on one of the tables, I wanted him to cut a hole so that we could put an outlet in there, so there would be some electricity, you know, on that table. So all of this probably take him about 20 minutes to do. So I start telling him on Wednesday, they're done. They're ready for you. They're just waiting on you. Okay. I'll get to it. And I said, I really want to get them in here by Sunday. Well, Saturday morning rolls around, and, you know, it's the day before his birthday. So for him, it's the birthday weekend. You know, it's not just the day. So he's, you know, taking it easy in the morning. And I tell you, my husband's so cute. Our weekend is not complete unless we walk through Atwoods. So he says about 11 o'clock, well, let's ride over to Elk and walk through Atwoods. And I thought, yes, let's, you know. So we go over there, we walk through Atwoods, we go drive through, get a hamburger, whatever. We go back to the house. I'm talking about these tables. You know, I really want to get these tables done today. Well, we get to the house and we're not there 5 minutes. And here comes one of the grandkids and they want to go swimming. So we got my in-laws live down the street and they have a pool. So of course, Poppy's like, yeah, I'll take you swimming. I thought, there goes my tables. So we go swimming for a little while and we eat and everything. We get back to the house and I said, so by now I have compromised in my mind that if I can just get the buffet table brought over to the house and the handles on just that table, then I'll be happy for tomorrow. So I say to him, can we please go get the big table and bring it to the house? Yeah, we can take it over to the house. Well, let me back up. I said, can we go get the big table and bring it over to the house? What table? I thought, I've been talking about these tables for a year and a half, you know. And I said, so I explain again which table I'm talking about. And he was like, well, we can go over there and see if we can pick it up, if we can carry it. And so we carry it and we get it in the living room. And I said, I need you to put the handles on it. And he's like, okay, where do you want them? And I said, I don't know. I don't know if I want them on the middle of the doors or on the edges of the doors. What do you think? He holds them up there and he's like, I don't know either. He says, let's think about it and we'll put them on later. And I said, okay. So we put them in the drawer. He said, let's get something to eat and we'll think about those handles. And I said, okay. So we go eat a sandwich or something, go take our showers, put our night clothes on, come back in the living room. And I said, well, I've thought about it and I think I want those handles in the middle. I think I like that best. And his response is, I'm not putting those handles on tonight. I told you I wasn't putting those handles on tonight. And I said, no, you said later. But later for him meant sometime next year. Later for me meant in the next couple hours. You know? So we were both wrong because we had these wrong expectations. We had not clarified. And so that's what we do with God a lot of times. We hear the beginning and we assume the rest without waiting for the details. And so this must be what's going to happen because I heard XYZ when the outcome for XYZ had not yet been clarified. So that's kind of where we were at. And so it's easy in those moments with God and your husband to get lost in the middle of ingratitude. It happens easily. But refocusing, making that lemonade out of that situation, that's the hard part. And so that's what the Holy Spirit helps us with. Peter's life that we're talking about this morning, Peter's life was transformed as he faced hardships. And Peter's heart was transformed too. You know, later, the man who was once ready to rise up and fight and give his own life for Jesus, ready to die for Jesus, realized that it wasn't one grand gesture or grand display that would prove his love, but rather the daily outpouring of his life. And so real life means laying down oneself over and over and over again. Real life, it's about love. Love. And if it were easy to lay our lives down, we wouldn't need Jesus to do it. We wouldn't have to get up early and get alone and seek his face and ask him to transform our grumbling attitude, our grumbling heart before it even starts. But the word says here in 1 Peter chapter 4 that if we can wean ourselves from the old sinful habit of expecting our own way, we're free to pursue what God wants. So notice it is referred to as an old sinful habit, getting our own way. That's selfishness. And, well, we'll dive into that in a little bit. Let's go ahead and read verses 3 through 6 in 2 Peter 4. It says, "You've already put in your time in that God-ignorant way of life, partying night after night, a drunken and profligate, recklessly extravagant or wasteful life. Now it's time to be done with it for good. Of course, your old friends don't understand why you don't join in with the old gang anymore, but you don't have to give an account to them. They're the ones who will be called on the carpet and before God himself. Listen to the message. It was preached to those believers who were now dead, and yet even though they died, just as all people must, they will still get in on the life that God has given in Jesus." So this selfishness in these verses, we can see that it's a habit that's creating bondage in our lives, and it needs to be broken. It's a habit that needs to be broken. No more grumbling. Basically, you've tried living life your own way. That didn't work. Now move on and do it God's way. Let's see what God wants to do. You know, we need to learn to think like Jesus, but this is good news. This is good news because we're not on our own. The Holy Spirit will empower us to do those things that we need to do. No matter what it looks like, God's got this. And I love this. It doesn't go away with time. His salvation, his gifts, his miracles, they're not limited to one per customer, and they don't have an expiration date. Even death cannot stop God's promises from being fulfilled in your life. Even death. He's conquered death. I love that. The bottom line is selfishness is poisoning our relationship with God and everyone around us. And we don't like to think of ourselves as being selfish. We like to think that we are kind, thoughtful, generous people. But a lot of times that selfishness is masked by, well, I'm too busy, or I don't have enough money, or there's not really anything I can do anyway. When the reality is, it will cost you something. I love the next part in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning of verse 7. It says, "Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Stay awake in prayer." So how do you stay awake? In prayer. Most of all, listen to this. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything. On course to the end of time, oh yes. I love this because time is running out. Everything in the world's about to be wrapped up. We see it here in the Word. Take nothing for granted. Take time to hear and listen. Don't let self get in the way. Love others as if your life depended on it. Love, love, love. Like your life depended on it. But before we can love, we have to understand that we are loved. We're loved by God, our Heavenly Father, the one who took our place. I don't think we grasp the magnitude of what God's love has done for us. I mean, listen, all of us, we deserve to die. That's what we deserved. We were already convicted, and the penalty is death. But God. I heard this example one time that I thought really helped simplify it and put it into perspective. And it's the story about a stray dog. He's a rather big dog, but he was young and kind of rambunctious. And he shows up in this neighborhood, and there's some of the people in the neighborhood think he's cute, and they leave some food out for him. So he hangs around in this neighborhood, but he's wild. You know, he's had no obedience training, nothing. He's a wild dog. And so he tears up the swimming pool, an above-ground swimming pool. He gets a hold of it, and he tears up that liner. And so these people are mad because this dog has now destroyed their property. So they call the pound, and nobody claims this dog because whoever claims this dog is in trouble. So nobody claims this dog. So this dog is hauled off to the pound, and because nobody's claimed him, because he's just has a history of being destructive and he's not obedient, he's going to be put down. And then the neighbor of the pool guy starts thinking about this dog and how he really is a cute dog. Nobody's put any effort into training this dog. And he goes down there and he says, I want that dog. And they said, you don't understand. You know, whoever, if you say this dog is yours, you're responsible for the damage he did. He said, that's okay. I'll pay for the neighbor's pool. I want this dog. And that's what we needed, somebody to take responsibility for what we did. The dog couldn't pay for the pool. The only thing the dog could do was die to make it right. And all we could do is die because we couldn't pay the price that was due. But Jesus walked in the courtroom and he said, that one's mine, that one's mine. You don't understand. I'll pay the price. Whatever price they owe, I'll pay that because that one's mine. I believe in her. I believe in him. That one's mine. I'm putting my love in that person. That's mine. I love them. And so he really, really paid a price, paid a debt that he didn't owe. You know, if God had stepped up to offer his only son, Jesus, to pay for our sins, then we would have to pay that penalty with our lives. But Jesus willingly laid down his life for me. I mean, let that sink in. He willingly laid down his life for you. It wasn't If you'd been the only one in that courtroom on trial that day, he still would have walked in and said, no, take my life. Give them life and take mine instead. He physically suffered. He was tortured because of my sin. Because of my sin. He paid a debt he didn't owe so that I could have a life and life eternally that I don't deserve. Who am I that he should call me friend? I'm nothing. Who am I that God should call me friend? So before we can love people, we need to wrap our brains around the love that we've been given. It's so easy to say God loves you. It's so easy. But to really let that sink in, that's a different story. I think sometimes we need to pause and let that sink in. We need to fall in love with Jesus. We need to be filled with gratitude for what he's done for us and what he continues to do in our life every day. If we open our eyes and pay attention, we see his handprint on everything that happens. If we can even halfway wrap our brains around it, I believe we'll be filled with the heart of gratitude. And we spill what we're filled with. So if we're filled with gratitude over God's love for us, then God's love for others is what's going to spill out of us. We're going to be so grateful and so excited over what God's done in our life that we can't help but spill onto other people God's love. That's how God's love is expressed. Us loving other people. Loving through the hardships, theirs and ours. We love them anyway. Even when we don't feel like doing it, when we're weary, that's what it means to love as if your life depended on it. Because someone's life does depend on it, and yours did before you accepted Christ as your Savior. What does God's love look like? It's continually laying down our lives for those around us, welcoming the interruptions and the inconvenient, knowing that that's an opportunity to love. Is this a good time for prayer requests? I didn't realize I've been talking for a half an hour.
It goes by when you're having fun. Oh. When you're loving what you're doing, it just like...
That is very true. That's very true.
I have a couple praise reports.
Sure.
Me too.
So my friend Ed, who applied for a CDL job, should find out today. He went and did his drug test Monday. So we're believing the owner of the company has made the phone call to him. So we're just waiting on the drug test to come back. And we already know it's going to come back good. So praise God.
That's awesome.
Yes. 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 I'm so excited for him.
That's awesome. I love it when God meets needs that way.
Yes. And Kaylin has another court date set. She went to court a couple weeks ago or so, and she did the evaluation, the drug evaluation for drug court. Mm-hmm. She's been facing felony trafficking charges, major charges.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And she went to court to find out if she was eligible for the drug court thing. Mm-hmm. Her attorney, Renee, her own attorney that she's been paying to defend her, stood up in court and informed her that she did not qualify. So Kaylin, wow, being bold, said, can we do another one and by someone else?
Mm-hmm.
The district attorney, the DA, the one, you know, the state pays to prosecute,
mm-hmm,
stood up in court and told her, if you take a hair follicle test,
and you pass it, I will make a deal with you.
Wow.
So she did that. She passed it.
Wow. Good for her.
And so now we're waiting for the deal to come through.
That's awesome.
And I'm not exactly sure when her next court date is, but we're believing for God's favor. I mean, that's what, you know, that's what I've been telling her this whole time through this whole long process is when you go to the court, don't forget your Jesus.
That's right.
Don't forget your Jesus.
That's right.
And then it's like I told her, you know, God, how the Lord changed my heart. He's the only one with the power to change the heart.
That's right.
I mean, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
Yeah.
For good, you know.
Yeah.
And so, and we're going to be going, hoping next week, to dissolve the guardianship. For Angel to go back home to his mom.
Oh, wow. That is very exciting for everyone.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
He's, the Lord God's is awesome. Been busy. Sauce.
He's been busy in y'all's lives, hadn't he?
Yes.
That is cool.
Yes.
We want to continue to pray for Gage Calder. He's the young man that fell out of the pickup. He is awake and off of the ventilator. They're starting physical therapy, and they're hoping to move him to a rehab facility this week.
Okay.
And then I have a friend, Chris Carnahan. We need to pray for him and his wife, Denise. June 26th will be 4 years since their young son passed with cancer. Chris has a tumor the size of a cantaloupe, and it's spread to his liver. Surgery is not an option, and he's going to be undergoing testing for a game plan. Hmm.